Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today, and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions do apply, so get the details at WynnBET.com and download the app today. And we're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home for free daily video picks from the SGPN crew. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our page at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. And we're also brought to you by Roman. Roman is a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Just head to getroman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month. That's getroman.com/SGP. All right, welcome back, D-Gents. We're going to do a little recap of this weekend and preview Valspar. I've been miserable all weekend. Steve's been driving to a beautiful spot in North Carolina for vacation. I couldn't even enjoy my Leishman ticket today. That's how miserable I was. And listen, I'm ready to go to the Valspar. My AC is back on. I'm starting to come out of my grumpy mood. I'm hoping Steve's going to pull me out of it tonight. So it's my Boston Capper and Steve, the God of Golf himself, Shermer. How you holding up, kid?
I mean, I finally got that crank out of my back after I was crammed in the back seat with a toddler, like a sardine can, too, because, you know, it was just one car, and we had the dog, and the dog had to take precedence and got the front seat, by the way, not the the full-functioning human. He had the
very nice back, so.
Yeah, but I am an expert packer. Play Tetris all weekend. We load up the car on Friday, drove Saturday to West Virginia, spent the night. I unloaded everything out of the car, and then Sunday morning I reload the car.
Why did you unload everything out of the car?
Because when you have a toddler, you need to unload everything out of the car and then set up the hotel room and, you know, for her. So unload everything, and then I loaded back everything up. I'm sorry to Home 2. I accidentally broke your phone outside the hotel there when I smashed the card into it. So yeah, but I'm doing all right. Maybe watched about 10 minutes of the Zurich, but I saw the tail end, so we can kind of talk about that. So congratulations on having a Leishman ticket.
Yeah, let's fucking do whatever. I threw like 10 bucks on it. Like, it is what it is. I just threw a couple on it. I did good on my matchups this weekend, though. I know Tommy had a ticket, too. I think Tommy was the only other guy with the fucking ticket.
There you go. All you guys took, I didn't bet a single dime on this thing because I was too busy. But yeah, all it took for me not betting on this thing for you guys to make money. So congratulations.
That's right.
This is a reverse mush. So yeah, I guess we can talk about so Cam Smith and Leishman won. Yeah, it got a little interesting at the end there.
It was a pillow fight. It was a pillow fight at the end.
Yeah. It resembled a little bit of the Horschel Scheffler finals in the match play there, and they're kind of, you know, taking turns trying to blow it. But hey, they won. That's the second time Cam Smith has won this event. It's also it kind of proved a point. Like, I don't know if you saw some of the articles before this, but they were pretty upset that they weren't paired together at the Presidents Cup a couple years ago, and they wanted to actually prove a point that they play well together, and they actually went out and won this thing. So that's pretty impressive. I mean, I don't think there's much to take away from this thing. Again, I only saw 10 total minutes of it. But I do want to recall what we talked about last Tuesday. We were talking about PGA Championship lanes. And listen, like, I don't think there is much to this tournament. But if you do subscribe to that theory that you should take every tournament seriously, Leishman and Smith now fit those now two criteria. Yeah, so they both have won twice in the last 2 years, and they both have a top 10. Well, they already had the top 10. And
Have they missed a cut? They have, actually.
Leishman was missing cuts before the Masters.
Right.
I think Cam Smith missed one recently, too. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you want to count this as a win, you know, I'm sure people are going to want to spin that in order to justify betting them. But, yeah, they now count. So, again,
Cam Smith is fucking really goddamn fun to watch, man. I really enjoy watching him. Like, I do. And what's hilarious is, like, so I crashed at my boy's house last night because of our AC. And so we're watching golf yesterday and this morning. And his wife is like, oh, my God, he's awful. When Cam Smith showed up on the screen with his mullet and his fucking stash, I about died. But yeah, so not a big fan of him. But
he looks like an 80s movie villain.
He really does. He looks like that kid from what's that show? The 80s show,
Stranger Things.
There you go. Yeah, like the life.
Does actually?
He does. Yep. He looks like that dude.
Poor Billy. Hopefully, he has a better career than what happened to Billy. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, but Cam Smith is really fun to watch. Leishman was frustrating me. I think I was hate texting you. I don't remember if it was Thursday or Friday. Oh, it must have been Thursday because for first round leader. I was like, this cocksucker can't make a fucking putt. Like, Leishman was killing me. And he put Cam Smith up against a tree twice. Like, the one today wasn't even, I guess it was worse because he had to take it unplayable, but it looked like a better lie than the one he put him on Friday. It was crazy. I was like, he put him in bad spots. Smith bailed him out. I don't know, man. Like, he's a fun guy to watch. Like, he's always, I don't know, like, I really like him. He's really good around the greens now. Like, he really is. Like, he's really good around the greens.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to come to play in a couple weeks too at Kiowa, because it's very difficult up and down from there. And if it plays pretty firm, like, it's might be shaping up to be, like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I was surprised how firm the golf course played, especially today. It was kind of fun seeing guys like bounce the ball at the beginning. Yeah, it does. That's pretty good. So, you know, maybe I should start caring about this thing when I'm not driving, you know, 1,000 miles down to a beach house and, you know, basically schedule my vacation around tournaments that don't really matter. So there you go.
It works.
So, I mean, I guess the only other thing, I mean, I do you have anything else on the Zurich or no?
No, I mean, I mean, the only thind I would take away is the fucking Hovland meltdown. Like, holy shit. Yeah.
I mean, that happened after I was I had unloaded the car here at the house. So what happened? What happened to Hovland?
He was just – he couldn't hit anything. Like, anything. Like, it was bad. Like, it was just bad golf. Like, I don't know. It was very strange. It was strange to watch. Yeah, I mean, that would be the only thing. Like, Hovland meltdown. Keegan played good.
What happened to Finau? I mean, well, I know what happened. Cam Champ was apparently awful yesterday, and then it was awful today. But was I saw Finau duff a chip or something.
Yeah, they were both pretty shitty. I don't know if Finau was feeding off of Champ's energy, but Champ couldn't buy a break today. Like, he really couldn't. Like, okay. Yeah, it was tough. It was a tough look for both of them. But I mean, yeah, I would say Finau and Hovland. I mean, those two guys, like, Champ, like, whatever. We have our feelings on Champ. Like, I knew, like, I didn't care where they were on the board. I was like, zero chance they're closing on Sunday. I actually threw more money down on Leishman, it was either Friday or probably Saturday. Or Saturday, like, mid-round. But Hovland, I don't know. I was really disappointed with Hovland because I had that ticket, and they looked good. You know what I mean? They looked real good. And then all of a sudden, the wheels came off today, man.
What were they, like, plus six today or something?
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that happens in alternate shot, though. I feel like if one of the guys is just not on, that you're going to get punished. So, I mean, I guess we can probably put a bow on this. I kind of want to rant about the that player incentive program, because that broke so after our podcast wrapped up on Tuesday. And first of all, it makes me very glad I'm not on social media anymore, because some of the things that were in the Slack channel about what these golfers are now posting in order trying to, you know, basically get after this money, it's just embarrassing. So let me ask you a question. What is the worst thing you saw all week on Twitter? And are you finally going to come to my side and maybe hop off because of this thing.
I can't get off Twitter. Right? I just can't. Like, it's where I, like, dude, it's where I go for, like, a lot of shit, right? Like, where I go for, like, inside news stories and, like, whatever, breaking news and sports news and stuff like that. But good Lord, I unfollowed, like, you know, they put tabs on stuff like men's golf. You're interested in men's golf? I clicked that shit off. Like, I couldn't deal with these fucking country club assholes, like, putting out these terrible fucking memes. Like, I don't even know, like, these guys have to have a PR team to be like, hey, no one thinks this is funny. Like, no one is going to think this is funny. The 60-year-old guy who watches golf and the younger up-and-coming gamblers who are watching fucking golf don't think this is funny, you fucking turds. Like, it's just not funny. Like, I didn't see a single funny one. Not a single one.
You enjoy Billy Horschel and Sam Burns creating Outkast album there?
That was probably the worst one. And the other one that I put in the Slack with, I don't even remember who HP3's partner was, but like him carrying him, like literally in his hand, it was terrible. I actually thought Brooksy's interactions with Portnoy were really good.
That happened. How'd that go?
It was pretty good. Like, okay. It was good. Like, he made a meme of Portnoy's head as a golf ball and him smashing it lefty, because he's going to play him lefty for whatever it is, $500,000.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought that already happened. So,
they're going back and forth on Twitter. Like, okay. Yeah, like, hey, listen.
All right.
Because Portnoy did that weird thing a couple years ago where, like, he got X amount of. I don't know. He got
unlimited amount of mulligans and a pebble.
Yeah.
Or no, at Shinnecock, and then they gave him like 8 per hole at pebble. He got his ass kicked.
Yeah. So, So Brooks is gonna wipe the fuck off. I hope we could bet that.
I'm sure some offshore books are probably.
It'll be on.
Let me ask you another question though. So this thing started in January apparently, and there were a couple guys that floated out there like, yeah, apparently we were told in January it didn't happen. Well, I'm pretty sure Brooks knew about it because this now put into a different light what happened before the Masters now?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the way when you put it in Slack, I was like, fuck yeah, that makes sense. Brooks, you know, like Brooksy's no slouch, man. Like, listen, and I get it. Listen, you want me to make memes for fucking a chunk of fucking $40 million? Like, listen, there's no shame in my game. $40 million is $40 million. Like, this. I can't think of a whole lot of shit I wouldn't do for $40 million. And I get it, but Christ, man, stop flooding my timeline. You guys aren't funny. Fan interaction is one thing, but stop thinking you're fucking comedians. You're not funny.
Well, this now makes perfect sense why that happened. And I'm going to go back because I did not like that Brooks did that for the Masters. And let's take it back a couple years ago. So okay. Brooks was winning all these majors. That's all he was doing. Like, that's why I loved him. But he was kind of chippy with the media and upset that like nobody would want to ask him questions or anything like that. And then all of a sudden the last year or like the last like 6 months, it's like, all right, he's really active on social media. He's trying to dunk on people. Like, he's getting after it with Bryce and everything. And like, it seemed like that was trying to, like, someone told him like, all right, you have to have basically be a troll on social media. And now with this thing, and he loves money, and now it's just going over the top. And like, this is not really why I liked Brooks to begin with. I like because he's just a Terminator. He doesn't care about all this stuff. And now if it seems like, I mean, him and everybody are going to care about this stuff. Like,
it's everybody.
It's such a naked cash grab, and it's such a like blatant
unnecessary.
It is necessary for the survival of the PGA Tour, because otherwise these guys are going to go grab all that Saudi cash and go play around the world, and they're basically going to fund buying bone saws for all the anti-Saudi journalists out there that they want to take care of. So listen, it's just I understand why you want these guys to basically get more mainstream. You know, obviously you want to get to a bigger market. I mean, because listen, there's guys like me, there's like the gamblers, and then it's like baby boomers who love golf, and if they can get more mainstream, like, because really the only thing that really matters is, do you get on SportsCenter? Do you get on Jimmy Kimmel? Do you get on like all these things? And that's what they're trying to do with this initiative. But it just, man, it just stinks. And I'm very happy to be on social
media. They need to hire better PR people. Like, that's what they need to do.
I think they'll probably figure out like how to do it. Now, one thing I want to know is, what's Patrick Reed going to try and do in order to get like back in everybody's good grace? Or is he just going to say I don't care?
Go full heel. Let's go. Like, I want him to go full heel so bad. And just start trolling everybody and like making weird little videos of him like moving a ball, or like I just want him to go full fucking heel. Just like I wanted Tiger to go full heel, like when everybody started turning against Tiger because he liked Perkins waitresses and he cheated on his wife. Dude, lots of people fucking cheat on their wife. It was a great story. 9-iron through the back of his fucking car. Like, whatever. Like, I wanted Tiger to just to embrace the darkness and be like, fine, you don't like me, I'm going to go out and I'm going to crush every tournament. I feel like since he didn't do that, it really fucked with his game. Like, I want Patrick Reed to go full fucking heel.
So here's the problem with that, though. So apparently this, like, metric, which is BS to begin with. Like, it's, like, Q ratings and, like, retweets and all this stuff that probably is just going to get rigged to earn a favor like Ricky Fowler and make sure he still gets paid. But it's only positive PR, so it's not negative. So you can't go full heel.
There's no such thing as negative PR, Steve. No such thing.
According to this little metric, there is. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, you'll be my liaison, you know, to report all the garbage that's on.
Dude, I told you, I unchecked the Ben's Golf. Like, unless I follow them personally, like, I'm not fucking finding.
All right, well, maybe we'll have Paulie Poodle do it. All right.
Yeah, let's see. We'll put Paulie on.
There you go. All right, we'll put him on the job. So, all right, I got nothing else. You want to hop into Valspar? Do you want?
Yeah, man. Yeah, let's go Valspar, man. Fucking
okay.
My heartbreak last year. I had a fucking fat fucking Coke rack ticket.
Well, that was 2 years ago. Last year was COVID. Hey, listen, last year didn't happen. It was basically a simulation.
That's what I mean.
Right?
So that's what I'm saying. Last year. Okay. Like the last year was playing.
All right, so 2 years ago it was COVID. I barely remember this tournament 2 years ago, by the way. I think I remember Casey winning. Yeah,
Coke rack had to do was make fucking par on 18.
That's true. What did Patrick Reed, was it in this one or in 18 that he blew it?
I think it was 18.
It might have been 18. I remember Reed was coming on and he just, I think he melted down on the green. I think he three putt or something. And that gave Casey the win. So, yeah, you know what? You're right. Because 18 was, I think Tiger played that event for the first time and like he actually did pretty well. So, but all right. So, I guess about, you know, so who's playing this year? So, you know, DJ's in the field again. He's kind of been a bit of a slump. Hasn't had a top 10 finish since the Genesis. We've been having that lean of you got to have at least top 10 heading to the PGA. His results here have been kind of hit or miss, and we'll talk about why they're a little bit hit or miss because this isn't the type of golf course really for him, but we'll see. I mean, maybe he can go on surprise. JT's in this field too. You know, he's the first time he's going to play this event since 2017. Missed the cut back then. You know, he's in the mix for the Masters, but he could really use some momentum for the PGA Championship. You know, we'll see. And then you're right, Paul Casey. I guess he's the horse for the course. He's two-time defending champion here. Won in 18 and 19. He's going to go for the three-peat. He's been playing pretty well lately. You know, we'll see. And then other notables, you got your boy Terrell Hatton. You got Sung J.M. You got Patrick Reed, who we just mentioned. Corey Connors is a notable now because of his recent play. Hovland's going to play. Scheffler's going to play. So, yeah, I mean, it's a solid field.
It is a really good solid field.
Yeah, I mean, I thought because I think everybody's going to play Quayle next week. Yep. The Byron Nelson, no one's going to play except for, like, Spieth or, like, the Texas guys. But I thought where they put this on the schedule, it was going to get lost in the shuffle, but it didn't. So, good. I mean, listen, it's a solid tournament. I'm happy it's back. I missed it, you know, after getting canceled last year. So, yeah, it'll be good to see you again.
I like this course. Like, I legit like this course. Like, how it plays and, like, I like watching this tournament. Like, it's not just for the Coke rack, like, for the close call or whatever. Like, I've liked this tournament for a while. Like, it's a good setup. It's not easy. Like, it'll bite you when you make a mistake. You know what I mean? It's not a birdie fest. But look, it's not, you know, it's not going to be plus two winning, but it's tough enough. You know what I mean? Where guys have to be in position to attack the greens and the pin placements at the right spot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the winning score has only been more than minus 10 once in the last seven Valspar championships. It's kind of like how the RBC Heritage was before. I mean, everybody just took a flame to it, you know, this year and ripped it apart. So I'll talk a little bit about the history of the course. So it was opened in 1970. It's just north of Tampa, Florida. It's a resort, which is weird because it's Tampa. It's right by the beach. And this is an inland resort with no beach access, you know. So, but it's got four courses on there. One of them's the Copperhead course. That is where the Valspar Championship will happen. It was built by a guy named Larry Packard. And he's not the most recognizable name in golf architecture, but, you know, digging into him, he's got a pretty amazing story. So in the Great Depression, he basically got really passionate about grass and not the sticky icky, you know, just like real, like, you know, golf grass and everything. So one of his first jobs was he used to basically plant grass along a runway at all these air bases in the United States. And then, you know, he was really precise with it. Like, it looked really good. And the U.S. government caught wind. He's like, all right, you know what? Do you want like a contract for us? And you can go design all our, you know, basically plant grass on all of our air bases around the world. And that's what he did. He planted grass, you know, during World War II. He actually came up with some new camouflage techniques for the air bases too, and he did a really good job. Like, pilots were saying that they had trouble finding the runways during World War II, and, you know, he did it just, you know, as like an anti-air defense kind of, like, to, you know, yeah, against the Nazis. But yeah, I mean, he had a whole separate career, you know, before he got into golf architecture. And then after the war, you know, he was just looking for things to do, and he started building golf courses. He has over 350 to his resume. Most of them are in the Midwest, but this is his most famous one at Innisbrook. And you're right. It's a cool little golf course. And I think it's because it's so different than what you usually see in Florida, because there's actual elevation changes. Like, listen, like, how many, like, all the golf courses you play in Jacksonville, like, what's like the most elevation change you'll get? Like,
so, like, I mean, honestly, like, Hidden Hills is a spot. I think they actually ran a Corn Ferry event there. And, okay, and that's where I feel like I'm not playing in Florida. Like, other than that, like, I've played Stadium. I played the Valley Course. You know what I mean? Like, the King and Bear. If it's around here, I probably played it. Like, it's they're all flat. Like, there's no Hidden Hills. Like, you're up. Like, you're way up. Like, you're way up. Like, it's like they dug down, and it's mm-hmm. like you can crush that ball like 350 off the fucking tee. It's not really 350, but you got a shit ton of drop, and you feel like a big man.
Right. I mean, this is kind of like that. There's a lot of hills up and down, like, you know, a lot of elevated tee boxes where you can do just that, like, you know, just hit down the fairway. This guy Larry Packard really liked dog legs too. And every par 4 and 5 except for one has at least some semblance of a dog leg. And I actually didn't know this, by the way. So he is the original OG of these double dog legs. So really? Hole number 4, all his golf courses had, it's like his signature design that basically, you know, okay, this is a Packard. And there's the double dog legs on hole number 14. It's a par 5. And it actually makes a lot of sense. And I think now Jack, you know, look at him, because I know Jack Nicklaus, all his par 5, like, all his golf courses have like a double dog leg par 5. And he took it from that guy. I did not know that before I, you know, dove into this tournament. And then, you know, like the, you know, speaking of Jack Nicklaus, this golf course also has a 3-hole animal themed section to it. It's called the Snake Pit.
Yeah.
So it's hole 16 through. It is. It's pretty difficult. Hole 16 is 475 yards. It's a tough par 4 dog leg right. Basically, you have a wall of trees all the way to the left, and then you have a large pond to the right. It's about like a 300 for the pros. It's gonna be like 330 to carry the whole thing. And there's like a lot of trees like to the right of the tee box there. So most guys are going to be playing like positional golf, you know, maybe 3 woods off the tee, but you're going to have a long approach shot in. 17th is a 215-yard par 3. It's got bunkers all the way around it. It's like a lot of the greens are pretty small at Innisbrook. This is one of the larger ones that, so you will get a little bit of a break, but it's not easy to get in regulation. And 18, a lot of bunkers off the tee. It's a slight dog leg left. If you're anywhere in those left bunkers, you're pretty much dead because you have no shot to the green. Right, you have a good angle, but these bunkers are really, they're not very wide. So you got to get the ball up really quick over the lip or else you're not getting there. There's a lot of bunkers around there too. And it's, if you're, you can, the safe shot is if you dump in the front bunker, you're okay because, you know, but if you're in the back, if you hit long, you're basically dead on this green because it slopes pretty severely from back to front. So, yeah, I mean, like we said, like, this is a pretty stern test. We don't see a lot of this. Like, you know, it's very tight and tree lined, but, you know, it's like sometimes we get to golf courses where guys just power over the dog legs. Like at Colonial, they did that a little bit last year, but you can't really do that here. You know, there's guys that can try and overpower it, and they have some mild success. But overall, like, the type of guys that play well here are just like precision, you know, positional golf, you know, good scramblers because, you know, the greens are pretty small. The wind can be a little, you know, dicey here too. And, you know, you got to be accurate. You got to be good with your irons. You got to scramble well. And then, you know, it's nice to see par be a good score at tournaments, because we didn't see that often.
That's it. It was funny. When me and Tommy were looking for a golf getaway for like 3 days, like Innisbrook was one of the spots we wanted to go. And I was like, we're just gonna be fucking miserable trying to play that course, bro. Let's not go there. I don't want to.
Probably. It's literally. I think every hole is just a wall of trees.
Yeah, so. Man. I'm like, I don't want to go play down there. That's actually. Yeah. I think that's the reason we fucking eliminated it. All right. Well, before we get into any liens or anything else, we want to jump into. Listen, WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. So get started today, and you'll receive a special offer up to a $500 risk-free bet. Terms and conditions do apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. Man, if you're going to get a $500 risk-free bet, like, how fun? Like, you know they're going to hang, like, not a crappy number on DJ this week? Like, DJ will be, like, probably, like, 15-1?
Dude, no, it's gonna be like 9-1.
No, dude, I'm telling you, I bet you he'll be at least 12. At least.
Okay, that maybe. I mean, he has been playing all the great, but I mean, like, anytime DJ's been coming to like that, you know, that's a great point. Just bet $500 risk free
on the best golfer in the world, and they just moved his odds from 8-1 at the Masters to like 12-14 at this tournament. I like it.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Well, go check out the win lines to see if you can do that. And I guess even before we move on from that. So, look, no one's perfect. The best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three putt with a tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. So go to GetRoman.com/SGP now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all the comfort and privacy from your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to try and find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free within 2 days. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/SGP and complete the online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/SGP now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/SGP. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. All right, there we go.
All right, how about some betting strategies, like some things to keep an eye on? So, like I said, like this is a, for the most part, a lesson driver golf course for most guys. I mean, there is some opportunities to be aggressive. Like, you know, if you look at the 2019 leaderboard, Bud Watson and John Rahm were pretty aggressive off the tee. Mm-hmm. You know, they're longer hitters. They're pretty fearless, you know, with the driver. They finished top five. But for the most part, though, this is about, you know, keeping in between in the fairway, keeping out of trouble, you know, being really precise with your irons. These are smaller greens, so, you know, you're going to miss them a little bit more than you usually do. And if you look at the relative skill set chart from, like, Data Golf, it says exactly that, like, the types of leaderboards we get. Like, we get guys who, you know, generally are a little more accurate, and length doesn't really matter as much here. You know, it's those guys who play a little more small ball. They're a little more comfortable playing at this place. You know, you got to have good irons here. You got to be able to scramble well. And then, like, I mean, we've seen, like, Paul Casey's not a very good putter. He's won this two in a row. Like, and when Jason Kokrak was in contention 2 years ago, he was a really bad putter. Like, that mm-hmm. was the worst part of his game. He's really improved that. So you don't have to be the best putter in order to do well here, just because par is a good score. And then
the greens are pretty easy.
Yeah.
Like, they are. They're not scary greens.
Right. And speaking of which, though, so when this was in March, this was typically overseeded. So you had the ryegrass and you got the Poetry Vialis greens. I'm not, now that the tournament is in late April, early May, I'm not totally sure if the Bermuda is going to be in. I'm going to guess it's still going to be overseeded. I mean, if Heritage was still overseeded, this is probably still going to be overseeded, but let's get confirmation of that maybe later in the week. Because if it is back to Bermuda, A, it's going to play differently than what we've always seen it as, and B, you might want to focus on guys who might be a little better on putting Bermuda, because that's really, like, I think that's the only thing that, like, really matters. Like, putting on Bermuda is definitely harder and more difficult than putting on, like, you know, overseeded greens. So yeah. we'll see what it is. But if my guess is it's probably still going to be overseeded like before, so we'll carry on. And then, like, guys who have finished pretty well here, like, in their career, well, do you know who has the best course history of anyone in this field this week?
It's not Paul Casey with two wins?
It's not, actually.
How is that possible?
Well, I think it's because of, like, how the layout is, like, if you're a little off, like, if you're sending balls into the woods, like, you're missing greens, like, you can miss a cut pretty easily. Like, yeah. Like, if you take a look at Patrick Reed's, like, he's pretty good here. But if you take a look at his, I think his last five tournaments, he's got, like, a seventh, a 2 seconds, and then, like, two missed cuts where he just missed a cut by a mile. So it's kind of like Sawgrass a little bit where,
okay,
like, you can if you have it, like, you can do pretty well. But if you don't have it, like, you're out. Yeah. So the guy with the best course history is actually my boy Henrik Stenson.
Oh, my God.
But he's only gained about 1.75 strokes per round in the field. And, like, that's tops. And it kind of makes me – and I think actually the guy with the best, he's not in the field this week, is Jim Furyk. But he's gained only over a little two. So it can kind of go wrong for you if you don't show up and have a good game. So, like, there's not really a whole lot of courses for courses. Like, you just got to play solid golf. Like, other guys who have played well here, though, like Luke Donald, Steve Stricker, Paul Casey, like we just mentioned, like Jason Duffner, Louis, Patrick Reed. JT played okay here. He missed the cup, but he finished, like, T15 or something. Like, it's nothing really to write home about. But, right. And then Bubba's done okay here. And, Bubba's kind of the outlier, but they mentioned it on the broadcast today that
– Bubba looked good this weekend.
Well, I mean, they said that, like, in team events, he's actually a pretty good partner because if you blast into trouble, because he can curve the ball so dramatically,
right. Yeah,
he's got trouble. And that's kind of like what he can do here is, like, A, he has the length to kind of curve it around the dog legs, and B, if he is in trouble, he just curve it around the trees and just, like, you know, kind of ham egg around here. Like, I think that's probably why he's done okay, like, in this tournament. So, but otherwise, though, like, he's a unicorn. Like, John Rahm's kind of a unicorn. He's not in this field, but, like, he's right. A unicorn a little bit. Like Rahm, like, he's been on record of saying, I like these tight tree-line golf courses because that's what he grew up playing. But, like, I can't imagine a guy like Cam Champ was going to, like, do well here, like, anybody like that. So, go with your, like, template golfers, like your Henrik Stenson's, Paul Casey's, like, just guys who don't have the biggest wow factor, but they, you know, they're just solid, consistent players, good with their irons, they get up and down for par. You know, and if they're not the best putter, it doesn't really matter. You can still finish pretty good here. So, yeah, I mean, there's not really a whole lot to it. Keep it simple and, you know, let's make some money.
Yeah, I like it. All right, yeah, so we'll break everything down on Tuesday once all the numbers roll out and stuff like that. But your boy Stenson did good this weekend, man.
He's got his best friend in the bag back. He's got the old three wood.
Listen, it's funny how that works. And you know, you got to, like, I do that. My three wood's like fucking probably 20 years old. I ain't been playing golf for 20 years, but I'm not taking it out of my bag because I trust it. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. You trust the club. Like, I don't understand why these guys go away from it. It's insane.
Well, his actually broke. Like, the face caved in, and then he tested like the new Epic or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, well, I'm getting better numbers. I should go to it. And it was awful. And then he ended up finding, like, the Diablo, whatever it's called, in, like, somebody's garage. Right. And he's like, all right, I'm back to it. So, but no, you know what the real reason for the turnaround is? It's because you bet, who was it? Henrik Norlander minus, like, 250 or something against him at the Valero. And, I think Stenson is a secret listener to the Golf Gambling Podcast, did not appreciate it.
No.
And, I think he's just playing great ever since. So, good job.
Yeah, well, you're welcome, Steve.
You single-handedly revitalized career. I thank you, by the way. I'm so glad he's playing a lot better now.
You're welcome.
Because of you.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could inject that ray of sunshine into your life. All right. Well, listen. So I think that's it, right? We won't talk about anything else, right? We're good?
Nah, that's it. And I'll crunch some numbers, we'll get back on Tuesday.
Yep. Tuesday, we'll break down the DFS tiers again. We'll hit our outrights. I don't know if I even tipped Leishman on here. I think I actually might have tailed Tommy. I can't remember.
I think someone was on Leishman or Smith. Maybe it might be one of the Aussie guys.
I don't know.
I think there were a couple winners in the Slack channel. So, yeah, that's another reason why. Go to the Slack channel. You were doing really well in matchups. Yeah, you know, we had some Leish Smith tickets out there. So, Yeah, man, definitely.
This is money to be made. So we'll come back with all that, and then we'll get some more. We'll get really down and dirty with the first round leaders because it's a Christ. What's it, like 165 man field? Ooh, we're gonna get some juicy numbers. Yeah, come to Slack. They're all at the bottom of Steve's articles. Go read his course preview where he breaks it down every nook and cranny. Come join our golf 2K1 on PlayStation. Get a little course preview, man. See how it's gonna play. So you know when your guy puts it out of position on the left hand side, you're like, oh no, he's screwed. He can't get to the green. Listen, for myself, Boston Capper, and the god of golf himself, Steve Shermer from, listen, and first of all, let's give some props. This man is first day of vacation. He's like, I'm like, dude, take the night off. It's fine. And he's like, nah, we're fucking recording. So make sure to shower love on Steve and his dedication to it. Cause I tell you what, your boy would have been like, yeah, you're right. I'm going to take the day off. All right, man. So listen, we'll talk to you boys on Tuesday. We're going to break them fucking books again, baby.